gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric. And I'm always joined by my co-host. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, this is episode 118. We just had the conference championships last Sunday. How are you feeling? Were you entertained? Were the games up to par? Talk to me. How was it?
Yeah, I mean, the games were good. I obviously sat in front and watched it. And listen, it's different when your team's not in it. You're kind of like laid back. There's no pressure or whatever. And honestly, there's times I was like, I don't feel like watching too much more of this. And I kind of like would walk away from TV a little bit and come back to it. You know, just not fully invested in when it's not your team. I feel the same way when we get to the Super Bowl, unfortunately. But it's, you know, season's almost done. It's the end of the season is here, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're both have teams that are not, you know, they're not in the championship game in the Super Bowl. So we're just looking at the future, right? What the draft picks, Senior Bowl, like what the coaching staff, we're already basically tuned out. I want to say just basically tuned out. So on today's episode, we'll have some NFL news. We'll talk about the conference championships games, and then we'll kind of tiptoe, kind of sprinkle a little bit about what we think about the Super Bowl matchup. So, Ron, I want to start by saying that the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer. Are you okay with that? I mean, I know we're not Cowboys fans, but how do you feel? Because I was just like, you fired this guy to get this guy? Like, I don't look at that Brian Schottenheimer and think, oh, that's a level up. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't either. And it's a weird situation. I think we talked about this like last week or the show prior. The whole situation with how they moved on from their head coach was weird because it sounded like he was, you know, they're planning on bringing him back. Next thing you know, they were interviewing Deion Sanders like right after that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we go to hiring, promoting someone from within. It just, I don't know how much of a external search they did. I don't think it's a position that a lot of coaches would want to go to anyways. So it is what it is. It's hard to find a good head coach in this league, especially when you're a team like the Cowboys where the owner is so heavily involved in everything, your day to day. You know, he's at every practice, at every game, on the sidelines, and so, you know, some occasionally and stuff. So it's just a nuisance to deal with. So it's going to be tough for them to find someone that can succeed in that type of environment, I think.
Well, I think that, let's say, for example, he would have brought in Ben Johnson. I think he would have brought in a whole new coaching staff, and I don't think Jerry Jones wanted that. Because the defensive coordinator staying there, Brian Schottenheimer was, like you said, hired from within. So almost keeping the same, you know, the same vocabulary, the same plays. It just, to me, is really weird. But this doesn't, you know, it doesn't yell out to me like, oh, watch out for the Cowboys next year. Because it's, I feel like this is the same thing, just a different name. So I don't know. It's perplexing. And if I was a Cowboys fan, I would be so upset right now. I'd be like, what is Jerry Jones doing?
What do you think about Pete Carroll being hired?
Well, remember, I told you I was shocked that he was hired. And I sent the group chat that video when he came into the building. He just looked so awkward. Like, what's going on? I don't want to sound like I'm discriminating based on age, but let's be honest, he's a little bit old. He's a little bit old, and I just don't know. I don't know if he just took this job because he was bored. Listen,
hey, I'm sure Bill Belichick is in college, right? Coaching college.
Yeah, but those are kids. They'll be just like in awe that, you know, Bill Belichick's coaching them. But These are professionals. Do you think they're in awe about Pete Carroll? Because he brings a different type of energy, right? Everywhere he's gone, he's like, hey, guys, he's chewing gum. He's like clapping.
It's a good energy.
It's a good energy. I'm not trying to down that, but just I don't know if that energy translates to the Raiders. That's what I'm trying to say. So
would we'll you have wanted Pete Carroll over Mike Vrabel?
If I was the Raiders?
No, if you're the Patriots.
I don't know if he would come back because he was it was a Robert Kraft. He worked on the Robert Kraft way, way back. I don't know. That might be. I know that they just got Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator, but I just don't know if that would have worked. That's what I'm trying to say. So
I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's a long term. I don't think he's going to do it for 5-10 years or anything like that. I think he'll be there for like 3 years maybe. And then I don't think he'll have as much control as he did. You know, I think he'll try to trust the people underneath him more than he probably had to do like when he was in Seattle. So at his age, it's just too much to do and to be responsible for. So he probably wants to go in and be the face and be the voice, but he expects, I would think, others, you know, underneath him to lead, you know, lead the team. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't, let's see what the coaching staff looks like, because if I, let's say I compare what the Raiders have to what the Patriots have experience. And I just saw that Doug Marrone is going to be the offensive line coach. He has tons of experience. Is he a winner? Probably not, but he brings his experience. So let's see what happens with that hire. The other thing that I want to talk about, Ron, the Pro Bowl. Does it matter? I mean, first of all, let's take it back to like 20 years ago when people were wearing pads and actually hitting each other. Take that out of the equation now. It's just a check for the players, right?
Well, so there's a lot of things, right? So back in the days, one, it was, and I think it still is, it's good to be recognized for all your hard work through the season and to make, you know, the Pro Bowl like the first selection. Having said that, I don't think players necessarily want to go to Orlando. Like back in the days, 20 years ago, it used to be Hawaii,
right?
No one wants to come to Orlando and spend a week here, doing stuff with like fans if they could be out somewhere else, you know, hanging out with their family and stuff. So I think it's hard to kind of get players engaged. And now it's so watered down too, with like so many people opting out, all your first selections opting out. You got all these alternates now. Drake May, I think he's in there, right? Russell Wilson's in it. These are guys that had okay seasons, but not amazing seasons.
Right.
So it feels like it's meaningless, to be honest, with you. But I don't know what they can do to change that. You know, I just don't understand.
I don't understand either. And I worked the Pro Bowl last year, and it was a bunch of like linemen who obviously they don't get the recognition that they need, and then a lot of up and comers. Basically, the way I looked at it is like people like single athletes that can, oh, I'm just gonna spend the weekend in Orlando because, you know, they're on the rookie contract, they got recognized, so they go to Orlando. But if you're a veteran player and your family saying, hey, we're gonna be in Europe that week, you're not coming.
Exactly.
You're not coming.
Yeah.
You'd rather be in Europe than be in Orlando. So
or it just you have to be in Europe. You could just be about to get married,
cool,
or about like TJ Watt's case, he's about to have a baby at some point, so he's not gonna come down to Orlando and spend the time here when his wife's pregnant. You know, they're expecting a baby. You know,
I mean, now when you already know that if you made the Pro Bowl, you got that, you know, that extra money in your bank account. So like, why even show up? So listen, Pro Bowl, no matter how many, 5 years from now, it's just gonna be a list. It's not even going to be like a Pro Bowl game. It's just like, oh, these players had a good season, blah, 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 boom. That's it. This is something that I saw, Ron. Mahomes over Brady. I don't want to even entertain this idea, but why even bring it up? Why even bring it up? Because these are Mahomes has a dynasty. Brady had two dynasties, seven Super Bowls. Mahomes, why? He's going to win his third, maybe?
If he wins, yeah.
If he wins? So, like, why even entertain this idea? Why?
Because it brings money and eyes to the NFL. And this kind of goes back to our conversation about the MVP. And just in general, I think when you talk about GOAT, greatest that ever lives, it's something that's, to me, manufactured in a certain sense. It's not to take away from Mahomes or Brady or anyone else, but the NFL does its best to promote top players, in this case, Mahomes, to make him the face of the NFL, which they should do. But, you know, I think, you know, that has some negative impacts on like officiating. You know, I think refs tend to lean more on the Chiefs and give them breaks. And, you know, I think part of it is just the NFL wants to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl so they can have that narrative of Mahomes being, you know, a three-time Super Bowl winner or whatever, four-time Super Bowl winner, and to compete with the likes of like Tom Brady. And I'm not saying it's like 100% manufactured. No, Mahomes is great, but I think it's way too early to be having those types of conversations. You know, let him play his, like, finish out his career, and then we can, like, say, okay, who was truly better?
Yeah, because if I worked for ESPN or Fox Sports or NFL Network and somebody brought this idea of, like, hey, Mahomes over Brady, what do you think? I would be like, next. Like, no, but we're paying you to have this conversation. I'd be like, okay, Brady.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's like awful, awful, awful conversation. I do believe that, yes, Mahomes is tracking that way, but he's not there.
Yeah.
So why even have this conversation?
We have the same conversation in other sports, right? Like 10 years ago, people were talking about LeBron over Michael Jordan back then, right? And now LeBron's older and he's accomplished way more than he did like 5 years ago. But people wanted to like crown LeBron and say he's the greatest of all time. And I think it's just something about like the newness of someone just being there. You kind of like have that recency bias, I guess, because it's right there in front of your eyes. You kind of like forget all the great things like people in the past have accomplished.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely like a generational thing. Like there's a lot of young people that are in their 20s that, you know, maybe don't know about Brady, or maybe don't know about Michael Jordan, or maybe don't know even before Michael Jordan.
Exactly. Nope.
Magic people, Johnson.
Yeah, you know, Bill Russell. Russell, so yeah, if it's about championships, there's only one GOAT. That's Bill Russell.
But because we're alive and the time is now present, I'm like, no, keep moving. No, that's not it. Okay, so let's talk about the conference championship, and let's start with the Eagles versus the Commanders. This game had a lot of points. But in your estimation, you know, what went wrong for the Commanders?
Turnovers. That's it. Well, I don't want to say that's it. Turnovers, number one, right? They turned the ball over how many times? Like 3 or 4 times. I think they had like 3 fumbles, if I'm not mistaken. And then the defense was horrific. Not bad. They were horrific. And I don't want to take anything away from Barkley. Barkley's a great back. But if you're taking 15 carries for 118 yards, that means you're going up a defense that's just not giving 100% effort, or they're just like...
Not tackling.
Like, it's not even about tackling, though. Like, on some of his runs... It's one thing if he broke a tackle, he was getting untouched to the end zone.
Big holes.
Humongous holes. That's what I'm saying. He was like untouched. No one would like safety's taking bad angles, you know, him like juking a player out or so, and just not being touched at all. And yeah, that Barkley's fast. Barkley's a good running back, but that's just horrific defense all around for Washington. So they looked terrible.
I watched that game, and I don't want to take anything away from Daniels because, to me, he was the only good player in that team. And what I mean with that, he was the only one that, when he had the ball, you knew that something was going to happen. But, as you mentioned, you just can't turn the ball over. four times on the road, giving Philadelphia a short field. The Saquon Barkley not willing to. I don't think you're right. It wasn't the tackling that was bad. It was just that the Eagles' offensive line can just move you out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they dominated.
They dominated. And it was just, it wasn't sad. It was just like, this is a good team and this is a bad team.
Yeah.
I'm still don't know how they beat Tampa.
And I had Tampa winning that game, right? So I don't, that's the thing, right? It when you get to the postseason, I always say, throw out the regular season. That means nothing. It's all about who's playing their best, who's their healthiest, period, right? And I'm surprised they beat Tampa, to your point. I thought Tampa was going to win that game. Tampa did not. But now you go and you face a team like the Eagles that are physically dominant. They're healthy, right? I think, I don't know if they had anyone out. They may have had like one or two players out on their defense, but they're all, for the most part, pretty healthy. That's what happens. You go against a team that's healthy, that are physical up front in the trenches. That's what you're going to get. When Washington played us, the Steelers, we were healthy. We beat them, right? So it's all about like matchups, individual matchups. And, when those matchups happen, how, you know, healthy your teams are. So I don't think we should be surprised or too surprised that Philly won the game, even by, you know, the 19 points that they won by.
Yeah, I mean, putting 21 points in the fourth quarter, that sealed the deal. It was, Washington couldn't even score in the fourth quarter, much less, you know, even move the ball. I'm going to be honest. Jalen Hurts, it wasn't like he played a great game, but he was a good game manager.
Yeah, yeah. That's all he needed to do.
And I feel like the Eagles are just our team that as long as they don't make any mistakes, they're going to win the game.
They can win the game.
I'm not saying that they're going to beat the Chiefs. I'm just saying when they play like this, they're unbeatable. They don't make any mistakes.
No one's going to go out physical them.
Yes.
I think Detroit, if they were healthy, that would have been an interesting matchup. But, you know, for the most part, no one's going to go, you know, and outmatch the Eagles when it just comes to like physical ability on either side of the ball.
Yeah, they only had 5 turnovers. Again, they play discipline. They don't turn the ball over. They're smart with the when they're, you know, I wish they could have gone for 4th down more often, but I think the game dictated to them to be conservative, and that's what they did. Then when you look at the Commanders, 9 penalties. They were undisciplined. They were bad defense. I don't know if Daniels is going to have the kind of year that he had this year, because now there's
next year. Yeah,
now
absolutely.
There's some defenses are going to be like, no, we know what your tendencies are, blah, blah, blah. Was it a wasteful year? I don't think so.
No.
The fact that he made it this far just tells that Washington is in a good place. It's a good place when it comes to quarterback, you know, as opposed to the Giants, who we don't even know who they're going to throw out there. So he's just as good at Stack, just as good as Hurst. So I think he's in a good place. I think he's in a good place. But yeah, that defense, Dan Quinn has to better that defense, because they have the quarterback.
Yeah,
they have the quarterback. So if you're a Washington Commanders fan, next year when they do the draft, they better get tons of defensive backs.
Yeah.
Because
backs, linebackers, linemen.
You know,
everything. Because, you know, Philly isn't going anywhere. They're going to be there again next year. That offensive line is, you know, one of the best in the league. Saquon's going to be there. And you got to figure out how to be physical and slow him down. If you can take that part away from Philly, then you will always have a chance. Because, again, Hurts is a game manager, and he proved that he can go out and throw 30 times and win. We haven't seen that yet, right? So if you can slow Saquon down somehow, and no team has been able to do this yet, But if in the future you can do that, then, you know, you put the pressure on Hurts to be not only perfect, but to, you know, to be the reason you won. Have him go out there and throw 30, 40 times and see if he can get you to a win. That'll be your best way of beating them.
Yeah, I mean, 16 yards is not like awe-inspiring, because he did carry the ball for 10 times. There were some plays where I felt like he waited too long to make up a decision.
Yeah, there were guys running open. I had a conversation with my cousins about this, because I was like, I don't think Hurts played that well at all. Yeah, he managed the game well, but there were tons of throws that he just didn't make. The guy was like wide open, one-on-one matchup. And Brady called it out. He was like, hey, just throw the ball. And he didn't pull the trigger. And that's what he did all season long. That's why there was frustration on the team all season long. Because, you know, the receivers are like, dude.
Yeah.
I'm your first read. I got the one-on-one matchup, but you're not throwing me the ball. Like,
yeah.
So I'm frustrated. And it's going to boil over. And for whatever reason, you know, that's been the MO for Hurts this season. And like I said, if you can stop Saquon and force Hurts to have to play, then you got a chance to beat him. If not, then it's game over.
Which I thought that was the game plan. Like I was saying, like all Washington had to do is play 8 men in the box and stop Saquon and have Hurts beat you. And like you said, the defense didn't show up.
No, not at all.
They didn't even show up at all. So let's move on to the Sunday night game. This was the Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a nail biter all the way to the end. Well, I think the spread was 1.5, right? It was 1.5 for the Chiefs.
I think so, yeah.
So, in your estimation, what do you think the Bills went? What did they do wrong?
They just didn't close out the game at the very end. I think between that, not running the ball enough, you know, and I think that defensively, they had a horrible game plan, too. I was waiting for them to make an adjustment in the second half. They never did. And it was really simple. It's not like Kansas City was running anything crazy. It was just like, OK, you're playing man to man. Let me see you cover Juju or whoever, like across the field. Xavier Worthy, he's going to run a slant all the way across the field. Let me see if you can cover. You can't cover him. He's too fast. He automatically has the advantage because he's going across the field. He knows where he's going, and you don't, especially on a slippery, snowy field. And Buffalo could not match up with that man-to-man. And that last play, when they had a chance to, like, you know, stop Kansas City on, I think it was like a fourth down.
Yeah, Mahomes kept it, right?
He threw to, I think it was like Hunt out the backfield somebody out the back. I'm like, why are you playing man? Again, you've been beaten all day in man-to-man. Your linebacker can't cover your running back. Your cornerbacks can't cover the receivers. You need to play zone defense. But they went to man. They got just beat. And that's, I think, it's something simple, but at the same time, it comes down to like coaching. I think that's why coaching, you know, that's why Andy Reid's such a good coach, because he knows, like, if I need a play, I just run this one play. They haven't covered it all game. I'm just going to keep doing it. And, you know, if they can't stop me, then they can't stop me. And that's the difference, I think. Reid is a good coach. He just went stuck with his plays, the plays that work. And on the opposite side for Buffalo defensively, they had like absolutely no answer, unfortunately.
Well, there was two things that to me stuck out during the first half, and that was that Buffalo should have ran the ball more often. They should have controlled the game that way. Instead, for some reason, Buffalo came out with this weird game plan. Like, and then after halftime, they finally decided, oh no, we should give the ball to Cook. And that's what happened. But I think you pointed this out. They never gave, in the final drive, they never gave the ball.
Never touched it. Yep.
Never touched it.
But that should not surprise you, right? It doesn't surprise. Look in the last 4 years of Buffalo and all the, you know, different running backs that they've had, and just like their game plan. Every playoff game, you know what they're doing. They're going to say, Mahomes, get us to the Super Bowl. We're going to forget about it. You can have Saquon back there. They're not going to hand the ball off. They're just not. That's not just this, not their MO.
But the thing is, like, you have different, I think the last 4 years has Buffalo has had a different offensive coordinator. So it's not the coordinator anymore. So Sean McDermott, why are you at the end of the season firing the offensive coordinator when you are the issue? You are the issue. And I feel like because they had such a good AFC East lead that they weren't, I felt like halfway they weren't really even trying. They were winning games, but I felt like maybe it was too easy. I don't know. I was just like, okay, you guys, everything's been working. But the same thing happened with Denver. They fell behind because they were went away from the game, from the rushing game. Same thing happened in this game. They went away from the rushing game. It's like, stop doing that. If the rush game worked all season, why when the most important game in the season you gone away? And another thing was, Josh Allen did not play like an MVP.
No, he didn't. He missed some throws for sure. You know, towards the end, Bills did a good job of doing some timely blitzes to kind of put some pressure on him. You're right. You know, some of the blame has to fall on Josh Allen too. When you are quote unquote one of the top three, top five, I say criticism we give to Lamar, you got to show up in the big games, right? You have to be the reason that they win. You got to make the plays when they're there. And, you know, I don't think he necessarily did anything great either on his end.
Yeah. And I kept saying, hey, is he okay? Is a moment too big for him? Like, he just seemed out of place. But this is like the fourth year that the Chiefs knocked the Buffalo Bills out.
Yeah.
So it's
and I'll go back to coaching, right? And this again, Andy Reid versus the Bills coach. I don't think the Bills coach, I've told you this, I don't think he's a good coach at all. He just happens to have a decent team. And then Josh Allen. They said this like throughout the game, like Kansas City knew if it was like fourth and short or third and short, they're going to do the tush push and Josh Allen's going to go to the left side. He does. It's on film the whole entire season. He's going to the left side. They tried it like three times to the left side. Like, at what point do you say, okay, we're going to do the tush push. Let's switch it. Let's switch to the right side. Or let's not do the tush push and do something different. Like, they were ready for it every single time they stopped it. It's like, and you don't make any adjustments whatsoever.
That's what I mean. It's like,
whatsoever. No adjustments.
Don't wait till halftime. Do in-game adjustments. Yeah. Be like, you know, be a good game manager and say, either Josh Allen or McDermott, just say, listen, guys, this play hasn't worked three times.
Yes.
Why would the fourth one be any different?
Yeah, and they know it's coming.
They did it again and it got stuffed again. And it's like, okay, this is just not good coaching. And I think Tony Romo pointed it out multiple times.
Yeah.
Even before the game, he was like, you know, Buffalo likes to run this play. Let's see if they do it. And they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
So if Tony Romo sees it, believe me, the players know, right? They've watched enough film. They know what's coming. They know the tendencies and stuff like that. You got to be able to adjust. You can't just say, hey, I'm 260 pounds. I like running to the left side and I'm going to keep doing that. No, you got to be able to adjust. If you see the defense honing in on that side, go to the right side. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I just get it. The players, they just do what they're told, right? They don't. You're not paid to think. You're not a quarterback. You're not paid to think. You just paid to do the play caller. So, why the coaches not have that prepared? Why? Okay, that play didn't work. Let's go to Plan B. Okay, that play didn't work. Let's go to Plan C. Just have a contingency plan for that to happen. But nope. So, I think I said that there was. Edelman says something about like, yes, you can't just blame the refs. You got to blame
how
the coach, the play calling. You got to blame like, oh, the defense wasn't there. Like this other things, like just blaming the refs. And by the way, you know, I saw the entire game and I wasn't like, there wasn't any there wasn't any play that was so blatant that was like,
egregious.
Oh,
yeah,
the refs.
I thought the one fourth down play they probably should have gave, like when the officials, like one official was giving him the first down, the other wasn't. You know, I thought they should have gave Josh the first down there, but.
And yeah. I think that was challenged too, right?
I don't know.
One play was challenged where they didn't make it.
Yeah.
And the refs still were like, no, we looked at the replay. Nope.
Yeah.
It's Kansas City ball.
Right.
But it wasn't like egregious. Like you said, it wasn't like in your face, like, not again. I just thought this was a great game. Yes, maybe that worthy catch, if you look at it in like microscope seconds, I think you have an argument, but. No, the Kansas City was a better team.
Yeah, yeah. Better coached
team. Better coached team. Better. Maybe they don't have the roster and the offensive players, but the defense was still good.
Right.
The fact that there was not a lot of blitzing, and when he did blitz, it worked.
Exactly.
So, you know, hats off to the Chiefs. They're more than likely going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know how. Don't tell me how is it going to happen, but.
Coaching.
And it's Nick Sirianni. I don't know. I'm leaning towards the Chiefs because I don't trust Nick Sirianni. I think Philadelphia has a better roster.
Oh, they do.
I just don't trust the coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Kellen Moore is already like, I guess he's like already interviewing for the Saints job or something like that. And you know, Vic Fangio, he's already done the whole head coach thing. I don't think he's interested, but come on, Nick. Just, you know, don't get out coached by Andy Reid.
What are the, I'm trying to find the early odds. I'm guessing it's
1.5 for the
Kansas City. Chiefs. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's 1.5. I looked it up before we started recording because I was like, what is the spread right now? And it's still early. I mean, this is only Wednesday, so nobody, you know, no. Vegas is still like counting monies, I guess.
It goes to show you. I think like anyone would say, if you just look at the rosters, you know, Philly has the better roster. But again, Kansas City's still favored because there's obviously something that's causing them to be favored. I think it's Mahomes, and I think it's coaching. That's what it comes down to, you know. So we'll see. We'll see how that line moves as we get like into next week and stuff.
Yeah, we'll see because, you know, they're going to get healthy. I mean, I don't know where they're hurting right now, but both teams are going to get healthy. I don't know if the Eagles will get the linebacker back, but he didn't play because of an injury. So maybe he'll come back. I just like the Philly defense, but it's the coaching. The coaching. You know, Andy Reid has been there for a while. Spagnuolo, I'm sure I'm butchering the last name. He's been there for a while. I don't know who the offensive coordinator is, but it doesn't matter. It's Andy Reid's going to play call anyway, so he's just there for show. So they just have a good system in place, and you know, they don't make a lot of mistakes. When they fumble that ball, and then I heard them say, oh, they haven't had a turnover since November. I was like, Jesus Christ. This team is like all set. And that fumble was like, I don't even know if they run that play regularly, but it was just like, oops, my bad. And you can tell that this dude took it away from Mahomes in the pile. So it wasn't even. Might have been just Kansas City ball anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I'm laughing because I'm just thinking of all the reactions, like the fan reactions from the Giants fans seeing Barkley go off like towards the end of the season. How upset they must still feel seeing Barkley about to at least get, you know, be in the Super Bowl, right? And they, you know, Giants, whatever, Mara didn't want to keep him. How that might be the biggest blunder. Of all time, like free agency blunder, you know, for the Giants not to retain Saquon Barkley.
Sunday night, I went on Twitter and there was more, probably because we live in the East Coast, there was more like people just tweeting about like how the Giants messed up. than the actual games. And I was just like, wow, there's some angry people out there, some angry Giant fans out there. Because I was just like, and our friend Chris, I felt like just tweeting all this to him. And I was like, no, he's probably like seeing this and just lamenting like, what? And then he's coming back. So, hey, yeah, coach, go to the gym. The Giants are coming back. So, and the head coach. So, yeah. What you were talking about earlier about the Senior Bowl, what? Because it's a play Saturday, right?
Yeah, I think so. Senior Bowl, and I think the Shrine Bowl's same day or same weekend. I'm not 100% sure, but both are, as far as practices and stuff, they're both taking place now. So a lot of coaches are down. Looking at all the seniors, all the, you know, some of the NFL eligible prospects, getting their hands on them and stuff like that. So I don't know how much you've been following. I'm following a lot because I think, you know, what happens in the Senior Bowl with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, they kind of telegraph who they're going after. So when it was like Najee Harris, you kind of knew that they were going after Najee Harris. When it was like an offensive lineman, we knew they were going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round because they, Tomlin, when he goes there, whatever he's focused on, and I'm talking about spending like 90% of his time on one specific position, that's who they end up like drafting. So right now the Steelers, Tomlin, and not just Tomlin, like Omar Khan and like a lot of the coaching and scouts, they're all focused on defensive linemen. But I think that's what they're going to end up doing as their first pick this year. And I know they're looking at receivers and some other positions too, but they're fully into next season, the off season right now. You know, this is the time. It's already started.
You know? Where do you think Najee Harris lands?
I think he wants to be in the West Coast. I think he's going to end up on the Raiders. I think it's the perfect fit. Pete Carroll, you know, wants a running back that can be a thumper, grind it out. Someone who has never missed a game, so you know he's going to be there, reliable.
So you think he's going to be like a Raiders?
Yeah, I think he'll end up on the Raiders for sure.
Wilson coming back?
Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson has a chance to either be on the Steelers or, you know, he'll probably have a spot on the Raiders as well. Right now, it's kind of up in the air. It seems if you listen to like a lot of the media, and I don't believe anything that I'm hearing. I think people are giving their opinions and stuff, but I listened to Rooney's press conference. He just did the one this week, and he talked about we need to bring one of these players back, Fields or Russell Wilson. And he didn't really say which one he wanted. He just said he wants to bring one back, and it's not fair to have both because he believes they're both starters in the NFL. So I think a lot of questions were asked to him about Fields. So people are kind of assuming, okay, we're going to try to bring Fields back and let Wilson walk. But I have no idea what's going to happen, to be honest with you. I think, honestly, I don't think either quarterback is the right answer for the Steelers. Just based on what how the year went. I thought Russell Wilson played well. He had some good things. And, you know, but at the same time, he's 36, about to be 37. He's not the future. He's just someone to get you for 2 years. He's the bridge.
I haven't been following any of the draft order or the Senior Bowl because I've just been like in shock about all the turnovers that is happening with the Patriots, with the coaching staffs, with offense coordinator, defense coordinator, special teams, all the way to linebackers coach, DB coach, everybody just losing their jobs.
So Belichick like, lost his job today, son.
Yeah, so I'm for it. I'm for it. You bring Mike Vrabel in, he's gonna make changes, wholesale changes. We're talking about not just coachings, but like people in the front office are like, I'm out of here. They made a big deal about somebody who had been there for 30 years, and she left. Let big bygones be bygones. I'm sorry. This is a new regime coming up, so it is what it is.
What do you think they're gonna do though? That first pick? You think they're gonna go offensive line to protect Drake May? You think he'll go somewhere on the defense because he's a defensive-minded coach?
I think because they have so much money to spend, you have to shore up the defense. So I wouldn't be mad if they went with that edge rusher. I don't know if he's going to be there still, but I wouldn't be mad at all because he knows defense wins championships. I know that's an old saying, it's cliche, but it is the truth. This is the last 2 years, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't been impressive on offense.
Yeah. It's their defense that wins.
So I'm not mad at him at all if that happens. I did want to show you the trophy.
Oh, yes.
And if you're listening, I'm going to put this up on YouTube. It says right on here, 2024 prediction winner. And
what happened in 2023?
Well, we didn't do a full schedule until this year. So, Ron, maybe your name will be there.
It will be.
But I got to find a space to put it. I'll just put it here for now. But I wanted to show you.
Very nice.
When I showed my wife, she was like, This is too much.
How much did you spend on that? I'm sure that's what she was like,
well, this is plastic. Let's be honest. It's a little plastic. So it wasn't a lot. But I was like impressed. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't think that it was going to be this big. But when you add the bow, it goes up.
Yeah, sure.
So now we have a trophy. Now we have something to play for. But I'm number one. I'm the first. I'm like, you know.
You're so proud.
When they take that virginity, I'm the first one.
Yeah.
So next week, we'll have our Super Bowl predictions. We'll have some prop bets that maybe. Because that's good. Listen, full disclosure, I'm not going to be in town next weekend, but I'll be back for the Super Bowl. I want to watch this, so we'll have some prop bets that, you know, just for shits and giggles, not the actual money. But yeah, I think that this is going to be a great Super Bowl. This is basically the two best teams that are left standing, so it's going to be entertainment. I wish for the Bills against the Eagles, but hey, we just talked about it. The coaching staff is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. Kansas City has a great coaching staff. And, you know, the numbers that Patrick Mahomes put up this year weren't spectacular, but he just wins. So what can you say? So next week we'll have episode 119. Do you have anything else to say to the people out there, Ron?
Nah, man. That's it. Let's enjoy. Try to enjoy the Pro Bowl as much as you can. We'll see you again next week and get hyped up for the Super Bowl, which should be a great game. And then from there, it's like, you know, 2025, 2026 season, you know, ramping up for that. So thanks for sticking with us. You know, we got a couple more weeks of some good football left and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have episode 119 and episode 120, and then it's over. That's it. Done. Until the next season, which will be draft. That's our next episode, but I don't want to get too depressed. With that say, I say peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Peace.